This morning we're in Luke chapter 17, this account that Jesus shares here, Luke chapter 17, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 19. We think of Grace, and she's being a teacher, and others here that are in that route, Lily Motter preparing to teach, be a teacher, and so forth. They're learning some certain things that are educationally are fundamental or foundational skills that are really essential to success educationally and then ultimately in life. And one of those essential skills, we you know what the three R's are, though we don't, maybe that's things have changed and we've lost some emphasis in those things, but reading, writing, and arithmetic. And one of those essential skills for children to learn, of course, is that idea of reading. They found that students who do not read proficiently by third grade are four times more likely to leave school without a diploma than a proficient reader. And reading is one of those essential building blocks to education and life success. Other research has affirmed that improving reading skills is an essential part of ensuring more kids will succeed academically, graduate from high school on time, and prosper as adults. And so when it comes in the educational realm, reading is one of those foundational skill sets. Well, what are some building blocks of Christian growth or Christ-likeness? What are some of those fruits of the Spirit that need to be foundational in our lives? Well, one of those essential things, elements of our Christian life is how are we doing in this area of thankfulness? How are we growing in thankfulness? Gratefulness is such a serious matter or component in our lives that even the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 taxed the opposite of gratefulness, ungratefulness, as one of the characteristics of the end times. Okay? Matthew Henry said this, "When you can call a man ungrateful, you can call him nothing worse." Okay? Nothing worse. And so we need to understand how that so much flows out of a grateful approach to life. And I think we've experienced that in our own lives. We've known people that are grateful people and how they've impacted us, their viewpoint of life, and we've known ungrateful people. You know, the reality is that thankful people are strong people, and unthankful people are weak people. You know, grumpy, negative, ungrateful people suck up resources and energy, do they not? You know, ungrateful people many times, very rarely get much done. And so grateful people are strong people. And so let's read this account here, this story that Jesus tells in this teaching moment. He's teaching on such things as forgiveness and service. And now, verse 11, he gives this account. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus, answering, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" And so we have this account here and this theme of thankfulness. You know, you probably know these things, so I won't spend a lot of time on them, on the context of this devastating gift of leprosy. But it was a disease that destroyed the tissue and nerve endings. Therefore, those that were contracting this disease of leprosy many times began to lose the ability to feel pain. And that would be one of the warning signals that possibly they had contracted this particular disease. And because they could not feel pain, Therefore, maybe sores or other things that were an issue could become easily infected. And then when that infection set in, then, of course, things became more complicated or more devastating. It was a devastating disease. I mean, it was very restrictive. In Leviticus 13 and 14, there are restrictions given on how to deal with one who had leprosy. There was specific instruction of what they were to do. It was a separating disease. It says in verse 12 of chapter 17 that these lepers were standing afar off. In other words, in order to save society, one would be separated from society. They would be separated from their homes, their families, their jobs. There would be leper colonies. And so it was a very separating disease. They would even sound a warning as they would pass. They would cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And so it was a very separating disease. It was a terminal disease. And it was non-discriminatory. In other words, it didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, if you were rich or poor. In the Old Testament, we saw Naaman, a general that was a leper. We see Uzziah, the king. And so it didn't matter. It was non-discriminatory. And as we think of the leprosy, what it pictures for us spiritually, it pictures for us that a spiritual disease in our lives that we are all infected with, if you will. That's the spiritual disease of sin. You think about sin, it's separating as well. It separates us from a God who is holy. A God who, as I pray, cannot, because of his holiness, overlook our sin or tolerate our sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Romans 3:10 and verse 12 says, we are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that does good and sins not. Galatians 3:22, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So you can't say that you are an exception this morning. We all have sinned. We all are sinners. Okay? And so there's that emphasis there of how it's such a non-discriminatory, universal disease of sin. It's terminal as well. Sin we cannot take lightly. We must deal with sin radically by believing the gospel. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God, not just in fellowship, but one day for all eternity. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so they were cleansed. They were cleansed of this very debilitating and separating and terminal disease. They were cleansed from that disease by faith. It says in verse 14 that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They cried out, Jesus, Master. He said, go show yourself to the priest. That was one of the directives in the law that they were to do. The priest would make those types of determinations. And they went, and as they went, believing what Jesus had told them, they were cleansed by faith. To be cleansed spiritually, you must step out in faith and trust the gospel. If you're not a Christian here this morning, if you are, like all of us, a sinner, but you have not been yet saved by God's grace and mercy, his undeserved favor, his mercy towards you, withholding because the wrath of God was placed on Jesus and will not be placed on you if you believe in him as Savior. If you've never done that, you need to believe the gospel and be saved. You need to ask Jesus Christ, confess that you're a sinner, admit it, and come to Christ and receive him by faith, the Savior who is able, because of his shed blood, his death, his burial, victoriously over sin in the grave. Ask him to be your personal Savior. I did that as a 17-year-old. There's others that have done it as a 4-year-old here this morning. There are others that have done it in their 40s or 50s or 60s. Or just like my father, just years before he passed away. Good man, great man. But he finally came to know the Lord. See? And so there's various testimonies here this morning. Some of us came from terrible backgrounds, terrible, deplorable things that we did. Others of us just grew up in Christian homes and we know nothing else but attending a church and hearing the gospel. But it took the same Savior to die on the cross, and it takes the same faith in that Savior to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And if we can do anything here, we are not here to condemn you. But you were already condemned, John 3 says. And why are you condemned? Because you simply have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But yet the condemnation of your sin has been put on Christ, and you simply need to receive His Son as your Savior. And we would be glad to help you or encourage you or show you from the Bible, answer questions, to allow the Spirit of God to continue to draw you to faith in Him. And so it was a very unique disease. So let's turn our lessons attention now as Christians to these lepers and learn some practical lessons on gratefulness. Some practical lessons on gratefulness. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Am I a grateful person? Do I possess in my life this foundational quality of Christian growth, which is gratefulness? As this one leper did, do I interrupt? This is a good thought. As this one leper did, do I interrupt my agenda, my schedule, in order to say thank you to God for His activity in my life, or thankful to others for the way that God has allowed them to be involved in my life? There's many other things that this one could have done after being cleansed. Can you imagine? I mean, it's better than winning the lottery. You know, I mean, somebody tells you, this guy, there's a lot of other things he could have done. A lot of other things he could have done as he was going his way and he was healed, and it was obvious. We don't know the condition that he was in, but he obviously was a leper and they saw that they were healed and so forth. But there's a lot of other things he could have done after being cleansed. He could have gone back to his family, a number of things. But he was willing to pause to recognize and express thanks to God for intervening in his life and to others that God used to intervene. And so is it foundational in our life? Is this something of spiritual instinct that when we have the opportunity in life, though there's many other things that we could be doing, there could be many other responses to circumstances or blessings or whatever it might be, do we just think in such a way as Felix prayed that we would think biblically? Well, one way we think biblically is that we learn to pause and thank God. Okay? And to thank God for His blessings and His gifts. So some principles of gratefulness. Number one, God gives all of us the opportunity to choose to be thankful. To choose to be thankful. Okay? God is sovereign in the details of this story. God is sovereign in the details of this story. Question, do you and I believe that my life is under the control of God? Okay? You know, the reality is, when we come to grips with that truth of God's sovereignty over us, then thanksgiving can be seen as faith in that sovereignty. Okay? It's more than just being grateful. It's more than just learning to say thank you. Okay? Gratefulness, for those of us that are believers, it can be connected to our faith in the sovereignty of God. When we interpret our experiences in the light of God's word and God's character versus interpreting our doctrine or God's character in the light of our experience, that's where we struggle. Interpreting our lives and the events of our lives on the basis of God's word and God's character versus interpreting our experiences, okay, interpreting God's word and God's character on the basis of our experience. See, thankfulness is rooted to our faith in the sovereignty of God. Ephesians 5:20 says this, giving thanks always for all things. Okay, how can you do that? Well, it has to be linked for the Christian to the sovereignty of God and faith in that sovereignty, that God is in control. So God arranged the details to teach us a lesson. And God gives each of these men an opportunity to be thankful. The details, the location is important. In verse 11, it says that he was traveling between Samaria and Galilee. Okay? And so some of you know historically that during the divided kingdom, the northern tribes established their own capital and place of worship in Samaria versus Jerusalem. And it resulted in intermarriage and therefore tension with southern Jewish tribes and so forth. And we have that account of the woman at the well and the conflict that was there. And so that was significant as Jesus was traveling. And these 10 lepers were suffering from this contagious and deadly disease. And so as Jesus traveled in this area, of these 10 lepers, some of them may have been Jews, and some of them may have been, were surely Samaritans. And so there is this significant healing that takes place in verse 14 as they went. And so they were showed to go back to the priest, because the priest was going to be the ones that was going to give them permission to be kind of mainstreamed back into society. Okay, that was one of his roles. Priests had many roles. And so God shares the account so he can cause us to think about the opportunities he gives us to be thankful daily, weekly. The opportunity to choose to be thankful. Okay. All of our circumstances are different as it relates, but all of us have family, we have friends, we have jobs, we have health, we have material needs, we have country, we have church family. See, most of us here this morning, we have those things. And they are a blessing or a challenge in various degrees. Okay? But we have those things. But if you don't have those things, maybe you don't really have family. Maybe you don't really have friends. Or maybe you're out of a job. Or maybe you're suffering in your health. Or maybe there's some material needs that need to be met. And maybe you're frustrated with our country. Or even frustrated in the context of your own church family. If you don't have all these things, do we not have the cross? Do we not have the empty tomb? Do we not have the Word? Do we not have the many blessings of being God's child? See? How do I give thanks for those things that are not desirable or pleasurable or understood? Okay? When something doesn't rise to the level of something that I'm to give thanks for because it's not pleasant. Okay? We must remember that many things in life that happen are not necessarily pleasant, but they are always divinely purposeful. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various hues of temptation or testing, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But that patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We just looked at, and we know that all things, Tom saying it, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. This truth is illustrated in the choice to express gratefulness to God and to choose to do so in the midst of circumstances that aren't desirable. It's illustrated in the life of a commentator, Matthew Henry, who possessed a grateful spirit. In his journal, he gives an account of coming back from a meeting and a group of men robbed him and took his purse or his wallet. In his journal, he notes his thankfulness to God for the incident. First, in his journal, he thanked God that he had never been robbed before. Okay. You ever been robbed? Okay, and if you said, if the answer is, you know, hopefully the answer is no. If it is yes, at least it's yes once, okay, not yes multiple times. Okay, so he thanked God that he had been robbed only once before. Secondly, he thanked God that they had only taken his wallet and not his life. Makes sense? We hear that before, where it's a hurricane or some other tragedy. At least we lost everything, but family's still alive. We're safe. Okay? Do we think like that? Do we think through the circumstances and say, well, it's not desirable, it's not pleasant. I don't like somebody coming up with me with a club or a gun or, you know, some threatening way, but hey, I'm safe. Okay? So he thanked God that they had only taken his wallet and not his life. Third, although they had taken his all was not much. Okay? His all was not much. Okay, so he was thankful for that. And then last, an appreciation for the grace of the new birth. I like this one too. In his appreciation for the grace of the new birth, he was thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Isn't that a good thought? That apart from the grace of God in my life, of salvation in Christ, through Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and a life transformed, I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is one that was robbed, and I wasn't the one doing the robbing. Because that very much could have been a possibility apart from the grace of God in my life. Okay, that's a wonderful thought. Goes back to grace. Our gratitude, as we think of that, is directly proportionate to the amount of grace that we perceive. Sometimes the reason we, even as God's people, are not thankful is that we are not perceiving God's multiple graces in our lives. We're not thinking about God's grace. We're not thinking about God's mercies. All right? As Felix prayed, that are renewed each morning, every morning. And he never changes. Great is his faithfulness. And so that's the first lesson here this morning. God gives all of us the opportunity to choose to be thankful. Number two, choosing to be thankful brings great glory to God. Brings glory to God. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 18, they are not found, Jesus said, that returned to give God glory to God, save this stranger. So thanksgiving, choosing to be thankful, brings great glory to God. The definition of glory, the idea, the root of the word means weight, respect, honor. It means to give the right opinion of God. When we give God glory, we're giving the right opinion of God in the eyes of others. So thanksgiving is an act of worship where we in our thanksgiving are expressing God's worth, God's weight, God's glory. Okay? And so the observations of the one who was thankful and gave God glory, what was it about his thankfulness? Well, it was immediate. It was immediate. As soon as he saw that he was healed, it says, and when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So his thanksgiving was immediate versus, I guess I'll get around to it. Okay? He recognized what Jesus had done and he responded. Not only was his thanksgiving immediate, it was enthusiastic. He cried with a loud voice, a mega voice, a megaphone. That's the idea there. In other words, he had been loud in making the request, right? You think he was loud? As he was standing afar off and he had to be loud to be heard, and he cries out, Jesus, Master! He cried out with a loud voice for Jesus' intervention, and now that he has been healed, it says that he cried out with a loud voice, a mega voice, giving glory to God. Okay? He was enthusiastic. The intensity of his thanksgiving matched the intensity of his request. We can get really enthusiastic when complaining about something. Am I just as enthusiastic when given the opportunity to be thankful? And then he also was humble. Sometimes giving thanks is a matter of humility because we are undeserving or we don't like people doing good things for us. It makes us uncomfortable. But yet he was humble in giving of thanks. And so the second principle then on this that we can learn is choosing to be thankful brings great glory to God. Number three, there is no automatic relationship between a person's access to truth There's no automatic relationship between a person's access to truth and a person's willingness to cultivate a thankful heart. Okay? He was a Samaritan. All 10 of these men recognized Jesus as master. Very likely that some of them may have been Jews. Jews would have inherently, culturally, known more about religious things, would have known more about the prophecies of a coming Messiah, okay, than the Samaritans would. Okay? But only one was willing to give thanks, and this one was a Samaritan. Here's kind of an illustration. If we lined up everybody in the auditorium based upon their exposure to biblical truth from the greatest to the least, in other words, we'd have to go out in the parking lot, but if we lined up everybody in the parking lot based upon their exposure to biblical truth from the greatest to the least, we would have some people here that have been exposed to God's truth. I was talking with the young people this morning. We have some folks here that have been exposed to God's truth for 90 years. 90 years. But we have some that are here this morning, the youngest maybe fifth grade or fourth grade or something like that. We have some here this morning that have been exposed to biblical truth for maybe only 10 years. Okay? But if we lined everybody up that way, and then we rearrange that line based upon the person who is the most thankful of those people to the least thankful, we rearrange them now based upon who is most thankful and who is least thankful. If everything went as you would hope, what would be the difference between those two lines? Nothing. If everything go as hoped, what would be the difference between lining them up based upon exposure to biblical truth and gratefulness? Hopefully nothing. In other words, we would hope that those who had the most access to biblical truth would be the most thankful. You and I know that sometimes that is the exact opposite. Sometimes those of us that have been exposed to biblical truth the longest develop a biblical amnesia, and we allow biblical truth as it relates to biblical truth, and we become crusty or cynical or critical. Okay? Have you ever met a seasoned believer that has known and been exposed to biblical truth for many years? And they have a lot of biblical truth, but they develop a spiritual amnesia as it relates to that truth, and they grow to be a very unthankful person, a very crusty, a very cynical, a very critical person. Okay? I stated earlier that thankful people are all strong while ungrateful people are weak. A thankful heart can actually make balanced and accurate critiques when they need to be made. There are times that we have to deal with problems, and it's hard to be thankful. Life is hard. Okay? We could spend all of us. Okay? Maybe us old folks have more problems than you young folks this morning, but you young folks have problems. We could start off this morning and say, okay, young folks, you're going first. Start naming some of your problems. And you would spend a long time sharing your problems. And then hang on to your seats because we're following you. Okay? And so there are times that life is hard. It's difficult to be thankful. But when we possess a thankful spirit based on awareness of God's grace and mercy, but when that critique of criticism is made through the lens of faith, even in God's sovereignty, or that criticism is made with a thankful heart settled upon God's truth, the evaluation is much more likely to be balanced and accurate and helpful versus harsh, distorted, or damaging. Isn't that true? When we approach the difficulties, the challenges, the hard things, the things that are not desirable in my life, the things that are disappointing, the things I don't understand, they're confusing. When I approach those things with a thankful heart founded upon the person of God and his faithfulness and his word, when I approach it with a thankful heart, not that it's not hard, it's still hard, it's really hard. I would get rid of it if I could. But when I approach it with a thankful heart, that critique of my situation will be much more balanced and much more helpful and much more just in the right place. See? And we need to do that. Principle number four, there is no automatic relationship between the amount of blessing and the degree of thankfulness. We may offer arguments this morning why my ungratefulness is justified. You ever done that? My ungratefulness is justified. And here's why my ungratefulness is justified. Okay? If God would do this, I would be thankful. Sometimes we think that if you treat everyone the same, that they will all respond with the same thankfulness. That's not what we see in human nature. It's not what we have experienced. That's just not the case. The reality is the degree of thankfulness and the degree of blessing, amount of blessing, Christians should be the most grateful people in the world. Christians should not. I don't know what the checkout person at the grocery store thinks of you. You know, I don't know. When you go through and price isn't quite what you thought it was going to be, or they can't work the computer right and get you checked in or checked out or give you the, you know, they may know you're a Christian because you've talked about how much you go to church. But yet, when it comes right down to it, when some rubbers meet in the road, they say, they don't seem to be a very thankful people. I think Christians, aren't Christians supposed to be thankful? Christians are to be the most thankful, grateful people in the world. And then back to our salvation emphasis in verse 19. Verse 19 says, and he said unto him, arise, to the leper that was cleansed and was giving glory to God, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. Being genuinely thankful is an evidence of salvation. Ephesians 5 talks about being filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of results of being filled with the Spirit there, singing yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One of them is being thankful, giving thanks for all things. And so it's a result of the work of the Spirit. Thy faith had made thee whole. That word whole is different from the idea of being cleansed or healed. It's actually a word that refers to physical and spiritual healing. Kind of the idea of shalom. Shalom just doesn't mean peace. Shalom means a wellness of body, soul, and spirit. Okay? And so he was declared, based upon his faith, not just cleansed because the others seemingly remain cleansed, those other nine, but he said to this one, your faith has made you whole. Okay? Whole. Some here may not know the Lord. And the reason you're struggling with gratefulness is because you don't have a personal relationship with God that can transform your life. It's like a wrinkled shirt, trying to iron the wrinkles out, but the iron or the steamer is not plugged into the wall. You must first establish a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Okay? And this transformation that God will do in your life spiritually as you trust in him. So, overall today, the point is not to find a bunch of people to say thank you to, though there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe to ask the Lord to help you cultivate a heart of thanksgiving, okay? Maybe you leave here today and say, Lord, just pray that you'll help me to have more of a heart of thanksgiving. And then that grateful heart will produce particular actions of gratefulness. And so let's stand and we'll ask the Lord to do that in our lives this morning. Father, we come to you as Felix prayed, not only needy people, which we are, but we come to you this morning with various levels of ungratefulness. And Father, we pray that these truths this morning that we learned in this account and these things that have been said will encourage us to look to your word and to look to you, our God, and your Son, and all that you have given us. And Father, that you would increase in our heart this foundational element of gratefulness to you and gratefulness to others. And Father, through that, we will experience the joy of our salvation, even in undesirable circumstances and situations, but will be a source of blessing and testimony to others for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.